Good morning. As we begin this morning, I want to take just a moment for you all to share the peace of Christ with one another. And if you so choose to move forward a little bit as you're doing that, that would be good. You are fine where you are, but this morning, the peace of the Lord be with you. Share it with one another. Peace of Christ be with you. And now may all who have entered as strangers be friends. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It is good to have a guest with us this morning. Welcome to worship. And if you will, take a moment to get your pew tablets to complete those, fill those out, and let us know if you have any questions for us or prayer requests. This morning, this is the last morning that we will use the liturgy that we have been using during this whole series on hospitality. What I pray, though, is that the words that we have been saying about living in the will of God will be written upon our hearts, even if we don't repeat them each and every week. Next Sunday will be World Communion Sunday. It will be the end of the series on hospitality, and a wonderful, wonderful, amazing, generous act of hospitality. Sean is going to not only make our breads for communion, he is also providing each of us a starter bread that when we leave the sanctuary, he will have the mixture there, he will have the instructions, and so you can go home and with your family, you can also break a common loaf of bread. And Sean, thank you very, very much. We appreciate that. You can clap, that's good. And we don't forget our furry friends and feathered friends and finned friends and all of those that we have next Saturday. Again, not only for you, but for your friends, your neighbors, your family, let them know that we celebrate God's creatures just as we celebrate God's creation, and have them come not just for a blessing on the animals, but for a blessing that I think they will receive. The final lesson for this series will be Wednesday night. You see the scripture that's in the bulletin that we will be looking at. And thank you again to those who were there Wednesday night. And out of our Wednesday night study came today's sermon. And so they are learning how to do exegesis and what it feels like to take those scriptures, explore them, dive into them and love them and let God say what God needs to say. A reminder also that the session meets on the third Sunday of the month. So we'll meet on the third Sunday of October. For those of you who are looking for a church home, for those of you who have visited us and have indicated that you would like to come, for those who attended the Membership Matters class, this would be the time that we would invite you to come to session right after church and to make this your church home. And so we look forward to having some people join us then. As for our prayers, you see those that are in the bulletin. And then I have a couple that we have asked to have added to it. Both of these are friends of Betty Crabtree's. One of those is George Rogers, who is a friend of Betty's. And she has asked that we keep him in prayer, as well as Donald Bunch, who has been diagnosed with kidney cancer. And so keep both George and Donald in your prayers. And during our time of prayer, I will offer up the prayers that we receive on Saturday morning from our friends in Christ who come to breakfast with us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And together as we worship this morning, I ask that we begin in prayer. Please pray with me. Together, God.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Let
you may be seated. God is merciful, this we trust. In that mercy, we now place ourselves, as we confess and claim, with thanksgiving, the forgiveness that has been gifted to us through Jesus Christ.
It is good news that Jesus lives among us to rescue us and to heal us. Each one of us in God's eyes is unique and precious. Even so, because of that, we, each of us, can dare to live in sublime confidence as children of God. We can live knowing that we are loved, that we are forgiven, and that we are blessed in order to be blessings for others. Thanks be to God. Will you join your hearts with mine as we pray? Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is a familiar passage from Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with your whole heart.
I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This ends the reading of the Old Testament.
The New Testament lesson comes from Luke's 24th chapter, the 28th through the 45th verses. What happens right before we enter this reading? Obviously, the death of our Lord, and then the disciples trying to make their way to somewhere after their Lord has died, not really knowing what they're going to do. So as they, the disciples, came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread. He blessed it, and he broke it, and then he gave it to them. And then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking with him in the road and while he was opening up the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and they were terrified and they thought they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, why are you frightened and why does doubt arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this to them, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy they were still disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, have you anything to eat? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is the wonderful word of our Lord that is everlasting. Thanks be to God. I read an article by a spiritual director named Trey Williams, who opened up about his own painful brokenness, not just because of the loss of a life, but because of that very real struggle that he had to keep his faith in the Lord. This is what he writes. There are those times in life when time seems to stand absolutely still. A single phone call can leave you systematically frozen in place and hurled through the air at the same time. These things threaten everything we know to be true and right. They threaten to let the brokenness of life rock us to our very core, and yet It is in those broken places of our lives, if we can but open our eyes, then we will find out what it is that we really believe. He goes on to tell about being 14 years old and being at a friend's house. And with one phone call, he learns that his mother has been killed in an accident. I left the hospital that night, he said, sandwiched between my mother's parents. We rode home in a loud silence. From that moment on, the number one woman in my life was the sweet woman who had the passenger seat next to me on that night that my world spun out of control, my Meemaw. She was my constant. She stepped right out of the role of grandmother and into the role of mother in one seemingly peaceful and grace-filled motion. Through junior high school, college, and through the multiple breaks in my heart, my Meemaw was there to guide me and to help me navigate life. And then an uninvited guest arrived, Alzheimer's. As the light in her eyes began to fade, I felt frozen in that time again, unable to hold on to someone that I love so dear. I felt that my foundation was crumbling and that my life was cracking, and I scrambled to make sense of my world. And so broken, this is what I wrote in my journal. I need to clean. I don't mean just sweep the floors. I feel the need to clean the baseboards. I need to C-L-E-A-N. I feel that overwhelming urge to go furiously through the house and to pick up everything that I can find. I feel the overwhelming urge to clean my car, to vacuum in places where most people wouldn't even look. My life is scattered, like tiny little fragments, and I need to scoop them all up and either throw them away or put them back together again. I need control. Yet I know this feeling. My house isn't dirty. My car is not any messier than the normal car of a proud owner of a toddler. And I know this. I know that my need is to be a child of God who desperately seeks for my soul to be made whole and to be healed again. I need to clean, and yet no amount of Clorox is going to fix this problem. I can't sweep up the pieces of Alzheimer's that are scattered all over our lives. I can't dust out the cobwebs in Meemaw's mind. No amount of Windex is going to bring back that shine in her eyes. What I want to clean, I can't get my hands on. So once again, I am faced with this uncomfortable reality. Life is full of broken places and broken people, and I am not in control. And then I remember these words of hope from Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. And it's good to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Great is your faithfulness. I'm brought to my knees, remembering that God has always been and will always be faithful, and perhaps mostly faithful in the broken places of our lives. I closed my journal with a mended heart. Meemaw may have been a constant in my life, but she could not be my foundation, nor could she put me back together again. I had to come to fully grasp the truth that God's compassion never fails, and that in Jesus Christ, we are made whole again. I recently moved Mima into a memory care unit, and I grieve, and my heart feels torn into tiny fragments all over again. Yet, I have hope, and I feel like cleaning today, but the things I need to clean, I can't reach, but God's compassion can. And so, I hand my brokenness to my Lord, and I wait, not with control, but in faith. All of us are broken in some way, but in one way, we are all broken the same. We are sinners. But sinners offered salvation and a way back to that wholeness that God desires for us through the grace of Jesus. There are those cracks, those fractures, and sometimes even those big, huge, gaping holes in sanctuaries all around the world, even this morning. Those things that seek to divide us, whether that is differing opinions on theology or about the health of the church, maybe the way in which we are sharing the gospel. And no doubt within our own families, there are issues that crop up. Sometimes they create little broken pieces in our lives. Sometimes, however, the brokenness comes in these big, huge chunks. There are those broken fragments in my own life. My heart breaks every Sunday when I come and I miss not only the familiar faces that I see, but I miss longing to see new faces. And not just because I want the pews full, but because I want the hearts and the souls and the spirits of people to be made full and whole. I want people who already know the story of God's love, just like you faithful who are sitting here. I want you to be here so that you are encouraged and keep being encouraged by this story. And I want those who don't know God's love to hear the story of how God, through Christ, can make us whole. It is a broken part in me. And I have no doubt that you all have those broken pieces in your own lives that you would like God to piece back together again. We are surrounded in a broken world by broken people. So what about the fragments in our lives, the fragments in the life of our world? Well, thanks be to God. On the cross, Jesus took all of those fragmented pieces of our lives and gave back to us the healing and the wholeness to a relationship from the very one who took us dust particle by dust particle and shaped us into one complete whole and yet each of us a unique good person. And it's on the road to Emmaus this morning that Jesus calls us to hand over the brokenness in us in order that we can see not only his power, not only his authority, but that we might see the longing of his heart to reform us and refashion us, recreate us, renew us, and redeem us into one whole from all of those tiny little pieces. It's been said that Emmaus was nowhere in particular. In other words, it was not really a destination that anybody wanted to travel to. It was not that important. But the important thing here is that it is 7 miles away from where Jesus was crucified. The disciples are trying to put distance between them. They're trying to make a break between that thing that has so hurt their hearts. With Jesus gone, the encouragement is gone. The guidance in front of them that they had hoped for has vanished. At least they think that's the case in their own minds. Preacher and teacher and theologian Barbara Brown Taylor says this about this passage. Luke is the only gospel writer who tells us the story of what happened on that road, but everyone has walked that road one time or another. It is the road you walk when your team is lost, your candidate has been defeated, your loved one has died. It is a road of deep disappointment, and walking in it is the living definition of sad. Just like the two disciples in Luke's story were sad. In Jesus, they had hoped. Past tense. All of us had hoped at times. But often we don't want to admit to ourselves or to others, because to live without hope feels like we are broken. And if we are broken, that makes us vulnerable. And we are people who want to chart our own course. We want to own our own feelings. We want to write our own destiny. Our had hoped runs the gamut, I think, from something as simple as, oh man, you know, I hoped I'd been prettier, maybe a little taller, hoped I'd been handsome. We had hoped to be more creative or maybe overly skilled at something. We had hoped that our parents would stay together. We had hoped to be set for retirement, had hoped that our loved ones wouldn't die. We had hoped that our children would remain faithful in their Christian walk, had hoped that there would be a cure for cancer and that aging didn't break down our bodies, our minds, and our dreams. Maybe you and I have hoped, had hoped for those kinds of things and so much more. The disciples, broken in their heart, in their spirit, walking to that going nowhere in particular road, had hoped that Jesus would take all of those fragments of the scattered people of Israel and bring them back into one whole and healed people. They had hoped. Our God is a God of the past, but also a God of the present and one that is with us in our time to come. And the had hoped is not, and it will not ever be, the end of the story. Jesus comes along and he walks with those sad disciples. He asks about their grief. They talk together about how broken their life has become because their Lord has died. At this point, they still don't know Jesus, and yet they are hospitable enough that they ask him to come and to stay for a while, to rest, to eat, to relax. It is still in that state of brokenness, gathered around the table, that Jesus takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And they have allowed themselves to be vulnerable enough to admit their fear, their loneliness, their lack of direction, their brokenness. But Jesus does not see it as a weakness. He sees it for what it is. They need their Lord and their lives. And we too, fragmented people that we are, need the Lord in our lives. Sometimes it makes me wonder how many times I have missed Jesus. There are times when I walk a lonely and a sad road, just as you all do. But maybe because sometimes I'm too proud, or maybe I'm a little bit too stubborn, or I kind of like control. I don't always see Jesus, the living presence of Jesus, walking with me. Sometimes that comes in the form of another person. Sometimes it comes in a prayer, a scripture. Sometimes if I allow myself to open up that brokenness, I see the Lord in that loaf of bread. During the times of the brokenness in our lives, we need Jesus. But we also need, as a little four-year-old young lady one time said, I need someone with skin on. There are times when we need a listening ear, a cry upon shoulder. We need an I am broken too kind of person, or maybe even a stranger that we can have those heart-to-heart conversations with. Luke is telling us that Jesus is reaching out, and he's asking us to take more time with one another. Take time to notice those who are around us. Take time to share our pain and our joy with others. Take time to learn from the stories of others. Take time to welcome and eat. Stay a while. And then when someone asks us, what do I do with the fragments of my life? Take the time to say, in our brokenness, Jesus gives hope. In the hospitality of presence, being there for one another, we are reminded that Jesus saves even those broken fragments of our lives. And not just saves them, he blesses them and he uses them. Gathered around the table with Jesus that day, there was a community. And I fear that when we try to go solo in our faith journeys without that encouragement of the community, we are going to find ourselves right back in that place of had hoped, with no one to remind us that in Jesus hope lives, especially in the broken. Each Sunday, you and I have an opportunity to be made whole again. We find that even within our order of worship. And so I'm going to ask you to take your bulletins for just a minute and open them up. And think about today's scripture as we go. We gather around God's word. Well, in Luke's story, that walk to Emmaus, there were two disciples who gathered, and then along comes Jesus, the Word made flesh, and they walk and they talk as they are gathered together. As people of Reformed faith and as Presbyterians, we own We own our brokenness, but we don't let it define us. Why? Because we have a God who wants to and who can make us whole again. And we acknowledge that each week in our prayer of confession and in the assurance of God's forgiveness. The bottom line is that since Adam and Eve's fall, we are all sinners. That cycle of brokenness is there in us. We're broken and God still forgives us, uses us. And then as we listen to the word proclaimed, we face the reality in Scripture that not only are we broken, our world is broken. But in our human efforts to break Jesus, we failed. Because Jesus gave his life willingly for us. So out of gratitude for the hope, we respond. We affirm our faith in God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We return our lives and we return our gifts. And we give God thanks for the blessing of our lives in our offerings and prayers. When we baptize, we celebrate that we are children of God and we promise to put our faith in Christ in the good times, in the not so good times, and we promise to do that for that person who is being baptized. And then we remember why it is that we even put our faith in Jesus as we gather around the table to share cup and bread. In the giving of his life for ours, Jesus takes all of those fragments of our lives and offers us back that gift of a put together again relationship with our Lord. And so it is in that peace, in Christ's peace, that we go out into a broken world in God's name to live out and to share God's hope that we have, not had, that we have in Jesus Christ. In closing, none of us would choose brokenness for ourselves nor for anyone else. And yet that's exactly what Jesus chose, at least in our human understanding. He was whipped, beaten, thorns driven into his head, his hands, his feet were nailed, his side was pierced, and yet his body nor his spirit is broken. Jesus understood that need for suffering, and he knew the will of God was to resurrect out of that brokenness new life that would be made whole again. So where are the broken pieces in our lives today? It is in the breaking that Jesus is known and recognized. And I am afraid that if we fail to own that we have fragmented lives in common, then we run the risk of forgetting that on that cross, Jesus suffered and died to heal our very good lives that were broken by sin. When we're vulnerable enough to open up our eyes and to see the broken places in our lives, it is in those cracks where you and I are going to find the sacred presence of Jesus. So what to do with the fragments? Own them. They are part of who you and I are. But don't let them be the last word. Give them to Jesus. And with thanksgiving, remember this. The Lord's compassion never fails. His mercies are new every single morning. And in that promise, find healing, find wholeness. For always, always, the Lord knows the plans for us. Plans for our welfare, not for harm. Plans to give us a future with hope. If the Spirit has moved in our hearts by word, by music, by prayer, by silence, or in any other way, it is good and it is right that together we say what we believe.
Together we affirm our faith. We belong to God, eternal and
creator of all things, all that is come. We follow Christ, who comes to us from above, and reveals our purpose. He heals people and transforms lives, and calls us to join in His ministry. He uses us to guide and praise the kingdom of God, and reigns over all creation.
We offer the prayers of our hearts, trusting that they are heard, trusting that in God's time and God's ways they are answered. Let us pray. We are a broken world that's desperate for you, God. When powers struggle for dominance and war and oppression and abuse result, when groups of people oppose one another because of ideology or religion or culture, we need a God who is bigger than ourselves and our own personal interest. When people are disregarded and devalued because of poverty or geography or disease, when compassion and justice are withheld, we need a Savior who is more compassionate than we are, who includes even those that we would exclude. When resources are mismanaged and abused and the world and its creatures are destroyed, when motivation is scarce and creativity is in short supply to address the challenges that we face as a world, we need a Spirit who is more powerful and more creative than we can ever be. And when in our brokenness, either in mind or body or spirit, we need your love, Lord, that puts back together the fragments of our lives that make us into someone even more faithful and more thankful. And Lord, for those on our hearts this day, we ask your healing and your wholeness for Joyce, for Doris, for Dick, for George, for Donald. And Lord, we pray for our world and our country and even each of us who need to come to the table for honest and respectful listening and discussing, that we might find in you the answer that will bring us back to wholeness. For our friends in Christ who gather round our tables each Saturday, we voice their prayers for financial security and safe places to rest their heads. We hear the needs that they have to live, not depending upon the world, but upon you, Lord. And so we lift before you their heart request of being united with family and united in faith. And we, along with them, pray that we won't allow ourselves to believe that brokenness is the last word, because in your gift of saving grace in Jesus, we have hope. And so, loving God, loving Savior, empowering Spirit, we offer you these prayers because we need you desperately. Captivate us and call us and fill us, that we will be the carriers of your eternal life to this world that you love so dearly. And for it is in you, God, that all things are possible. And it is for you that we offer our greatest thanksgiving and our praise, as together we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The God of heaven and earth, of all creation, holds us in the palm of his hand and loves us with tender care. God is gracious and good, and there's absolutely no one who is insignificant in God's eyes. So as we respond to everything that God is doing in the world by way of blessings, may we also be willing to offer back a portion of those blessings to God for God's use and for God's good. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
With thanksgiving, let us join our hearts together. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. May these offerings express our gratitude and our desire for a faithful community. Amen. My prayer for each and every one of us as we leave this place today is that we will let the brokenness in our lives be okay. Let the brokenness be that way that we turn them over to God and we allow God to direct and to guide our lives. The Lord is with us. The Lord is still behind us, encouraging us, still beside us, befriending us. The Lord is within us, giving us gifts of faith and hope and love. The Lord rests beneath us as we rest upon Him. And the Lord is always before us, showing us the way. Amen.